Hey there, it's Danielle Ujiabalu, LPC, and I'm coming here today to talk to you about a topic that I feel really, really passionately about. And I was online in a webinar learning how to be influential online, and this just dropped in my spirit and I couldn't sit still, I couldn't focus, so I wrote content for this podcast about 5 minutes ago and thought I'd jump on just to get it out of, just to release it and get back to work in peace. So stay tuned. I am going to talk to you about why I think abolishing abortion in the USA is not going to help the problem we have with dying babies. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back after this message. Okay, I'm back. So as I was listening to this podcast, for some reason, abortion just dropped into my spirit. And it has been a passion of mine for a long time. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. But I did know, and what was burning on the inside of me is that making abortion illegal is a form of punishing people for their sins. And that is God's business. We're just supposed to present the gospel, lead people to Christ, lead people to repentance, and then God takes over from there. But it looks like by abolishing abortion, we are skipping over a few steps. And the question I would have is, what would Jesus do? What he always did in the Word of God, throughout the Bible, in the New Testament, was he encouraged people, like when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery. She was by herself committing adultery because she was the only one that was brought forth. I'm being sarcastic, but they brought her to Jesus, stood around to see what he was going to say while he was drawing in the sand. And he said, well, whoever here is free from sin, start casting stones. And none of the people that were accusing this woman of committing adultery were free from sin. So they slowly disappeared. And then when the woman stood there by herself, Jesus forgave her of her sins and told her to go and don't sin again. And so we're not doing that. We're not, as a people, saying, look, you did it, don't do it again. He was compassionate. He kept people from putting false, or not false, but judging her for something that she and another man did wrong. But they focused on the woman. They didn't focus on the man. And that's what's going on here. It's what people fail to realize is that it takes two to make a baby. It takes a man and it takes a woman to come together and make a baby. And so right now it's casting stones on the woman. And the man is chilling. He's somewhere just free. The woman is the one that is getting the stones casted. And the church is not behaving like Jesus did. Jesus stood there with compassion. He didn't judge her. He forgave her of her sins, and he told her to go. Don't do it again. So I want to know why people believe that the government can punish people for their sins instead of providing solutions. So I want to say God cares about babies. Heaven is full of babies, and God loves those babies, but he didn't speak life into those, to that sperm and that egg that came together in order for that baby to prematurely come back to him. So God cares about babies. God is concerned about the number of babies that are up in heaven in glory rejoicing. And he wants the church to do something about it. Now, is it the government's responsibility to do something about a spiritual problem? No, it is a problem with the church. The increase in the number of abortions in our society today is because the church has fallen off of her place and needs to get back in position and do what she is called to do. I say she, I don't know why. Does the Bible refer to the church as she? I don't know, but y'all need to get it together, okay? What reminds me of this, and I wrote this in a personal Facebook post, is that my sister, my beloved sister, went home to be with the Lord July 4th, and prior to her slipping into a state of unconsciousness, she had been traveling in the spirit and going to parties in heaven. You know, she wouldn't have said that, but I know that is what had been happening. But my eldest sister told me that she had said that she was busy going to parties. She was so tired because she was going to party after party after party. And she said that it was so beautiful. She didn't call it heaven, but she was in the bed, in a hospital bed in her bedroom. So she hadn't left the house since before COVID. Actually, since February. And she had been going to parties, and she said that the homes were beautiful and big, and it was just gorgeous. And she was always fascinated with nicely decorated homes. But one thing she said that stood out was she said there were so many children there at these parties. And she went so far as to tell my sister that her 9-week-old daughter, who passed away a little over 30 years ago, she told her that she was gorgeous, that she was a beautiful young lady. And that went deep into my spirit, and my spirit just quickened and my soul shook. She said there were so many babies in heaven. And it told me, and we are sending these kids there to, some of them are there because of illnesses, like my niece died of sudden infant death syndrome, but I'm sure, like a lot of us have had miscarriages, including all three of us, I believe, have had miscarriages, and I know tons and tons and tons of people who had abortions. So what do we do? So I did some research to figure out, why do we abort babies? And I found this article from a journal, Perspectives on Sexual and Reproductive Health, which is a journal of peer-reviewed research. It was published in 2005, and what they saw was that there were several reasons. I am recording 6 of the top reasons that women abort babies. The first one is because it interferes with their education, work, or ability to care for their children. And then I thought, how can the church be a solution to that? And the next thing it said was, cannot afford to care for the baby, so poverty is a problem. And then I thought, how can the church solve that problem? And then does not, or government actually, for both of them. So how can the government help women complete their education, stay working, and care for their children when they are faced with untimely pregnancies? The third reason was the woman does not want to be a single mother. Very valid. Being a single parent is very hard. And a lot of us women prided ourselves in holding it down. I've got this. But we need to be real. It is hard because God did not design our homes to be out of balance and for the woman to function as a mother and a father. There is a need for a mother and a father in a home. We both offer two different perspectives that are needed for wholeness. You've got that nurturing perspective from the one who carried the child in the womb or not, because we can care for a child that wasn't ours, but we have a womb. So we carry things. We help things to grow. We nurture things, whether or not there are babies or not. Women have wombs, and therefore we produce. We take a seed and we turn it into a baby. We take anything and we turn it into something bigger than what it is. That is an attribute that is prominent with women because men don't have wombs, okay? Men, on the other hand, are disciplinarians, although women are too, but men, for some reason, children listen to a man who disciplines and who sets down the law and covers the family in prayer and sets up order. The woman provides the security in the home by making it a safe place to be because of her nurturing aspect. The church and the government can be a solution there. Having another reason that women have abortions is having relationship problems. The church can help. Done having children. That's for like me. I'm 50 years old. Can you imagine if I turned around one day and found out I was pregnant and I have a 26-year-old son, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old? My 12-year-old and my 9-year-old were like enough. But being 50 and being pregnant, being done having babies, moving on to a second phase of life, and I'm pregnant, that's hard. But abortion is not the answer. Done having children. Yeah. Not ready to have a child. 16 years old, 13 years old, and pregnant. I've heard many stories of that. So the government is not providing solutions for people who want to abort. So making it illegal will increase their suffering and will become a spiritual and mental health issue. Now, I'm the mental health and the spiritual health advocate, but there's other things, the financial stuff, the environmental stuff, you know, the behavioral stuff, the relational stuff. You know, we have to be providers of solutions. So what are the solutions? This is what dropped in my spirit. The church needs to get into position and create ministries to meet the demands of what's going on surrounding their community. No, not instead of all the programs you have for the people in there, while people outside are aborting babies or dying and going to hell, we need to figure out what is the need in the community around me. And especially if abortion is one of the main focuses of the Republican Party, people are more concerned about making abortion illegal instead of fixing the death of black men on the streets unnecessarily. And I mean unarmed black men. Huh. That's another topic of mental health distress. The church has fallen off of where it needs to be. Get in position. I'm speaking to all the pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, and teachers. Get on your job. Get in position. Heaven is full of aborted babies, and that is a spiritual issue. It is not a legal issue. It is a spiritual issue. And if the church puts ministries into place, we will put abortion clinics out of business. That is the end of the story. Another thing is we can do is provide support for pregnant mothers who are students, employees, and have small children by providing daycare centers, youth centers, making sure that they have access to quality medical care support, have support groups, things of that nature. Another solution that I see is a need is having mentorships to improve the job skills so that these women can increase their monthly and yearly income so that they will be able to afford to provide for their children. And for the ones that are in relationships where it's not good, we need to have mental health counseling, couples counseling. Help these couples realize that, you know what, you made this baby, raise it, get married, and work this thing out together in counseling, stand with the Lord, give your life to Christ. He's able. Okay, end of the story. And then also provide mental health services to help people cope with the grief of having an untimely pregnancy. And that would be grieving for the person who's done having children, or for the person who doesn't know how they're going to do it, or for the person who has a baby who has a pregnancy that's a problem with physical health issues involved in the fetus, you know? We were told when I was pregnant that a partial birth abortion was possible at 28 weeks because my son had an incorrectly formed cerebellum, and he also had a severe case of hydrocephalus. His skull was measuring large. Let me tell you something. We stood on the word of God. We said no. And all of those problems that were emergent resolved at 37 weeks. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. So the church needs to support those women that have birth, you know, pregnancies where there's birth defects involved or just little hope in a good outcome, like Down syndrome with heart defects or cysts or tumors or things that can't be surgically repaired before birth. God is able. So I'm going to get off my soapbox and I'm going to get back to work. But I want to encourage the body of Christ to not focus on fighting and going towards legislation for abolishing abortion, because you're going to have a lot of mentally disturbed people who are going to abort babies the illegal way, which is going to cause a lot of physical and mental health issues. And that's not what Jesus would do. Y'all be blessed. Stay tuned for a brief announcement, and then I'll close you out. You know, as I finished recording, I remembered a few other things that would be good for churches to implement. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to take care of the poor, the homeless, the widow, and the orphan. And so we have to minister to these women and take them in and care for them. So as I was thinking about this, I remember a friend was telling me about her church that has an adoption ministry, and she was able to adopt her children while being a part of that ministry, and they had programs in place to help the people who were taking on children that women had given up for adoption. And it made me think about some other programs that I've heard in churches where if you feel led to become a foster adoptive parent, they have programs in place to prepare you. And then also, if you didn't feel led to adopt or foster a child, you could financially support or give physical support, like helping with babysitting or just the needs of the families that had the adoption centers. And so if a pregnant woman knows that a church is going to help her place her baby, a family is going to adopt her and support her while she goes to school and to work, and to help her with her life needs while she is having a difficult time with the pregnancy, then that may increase the chances of her giving birth and possibly even keeping the baby herself or allowing the baby to go into a program for adoption. So I just wanted to plant that seed and to tell you that there's many things that we can do besides legislate over somebody's body. Now, you know, it, it's It's too many babies in heaven. There's too many babies in heaven. And it's a spiritual problem. And so our role down here on this earth is to keep them here. And we need to do it by any means necessary, but by just telling a woman no, shutting down an abortion center and leaving her with mental illness, leaving her in distress. And yes, there's a power of choice here too. If you don't want to have children, then, you know, there should be programs in place to help you have access to birth control measures if it's not against your belief system. And, you know, like educating women to possibly, you know, hold off. That man don't want to marry you. Why do you want to let him play house? You know, don't let him lay up in your bed or lay up in his bed and put a baby in you for free without making a commitment, without committing to being with you for the rest of his life, without loving you and honoring you. And if he's not going to do that, don't lay down with him. You know, if he can't put a ring on your finger and walk down the aisle and take you from your mama and your daddy and give you a new life, leave that man alone. You know what I'm saying? Don't lay down with him. So that's another cure, is you gotta respect yourself. I know stuff happens. I was young. I had a child when I was 23 years old, and I was a college graduate, had my stuff together, but it was very, very difficult. I made some poor choices, and I learned terribly from those poor choices, but it is well. But I'm just saying, if you don't want a baby, don't lay down with the man that's not your husband. And if you are married, use some birth control, you know, get your tubes tied, or, you know, get a ring, or use condoms, or take a pill, or get that other shot, or whatever. Do something. Don't allow yourself to be put into a predicament where you will get pregnant. But if you do and you can't cope, then there should be a place for you to go to get help. And I'm not talking about Planned Parenthood. I'm talking about an organization that is in place to help women who are having a difficult time with a pregnancy. And then one final thing before I really go is that I want to just tell you that when I was 23 and I found out that I was pregnant kind of late in the game, I had just graduated from Hampton University, and I was well on my way to come to Houston, Texas to work for an oil company as a chemist. I mean, I had my stuff, I had it all laid out. And then I was pregnant. And you know, working in the oil and gas as a chemist is not the healthiest thing for a baby. So immediately I had to decline the position because I didn't feel emotionally and mentally well at the time. I was all alone and I just didn't know what to do. And then when I told the father of my son that I was pregnant, you know, at the first he was very supportive, and it's like, you know, he was preparing for medical school, and he's like, look, we'll just make it work. You know, you can move here and we'll just take care of it. And then, you know, on a drunken day, he started, you know, verbally and emotionally abusing me. And I felt so hopeless that I called a crisis pregnancy center. I was in Hampton, Virginia at the time. And this woman stayed on the phone with me for 2 hours because I was in a place where I wasn't thinking about killing the baby. I was thinking like I wanted somebody to kill me. I was thinking about taking a walk in the hood and just hoping that somebody would rob me, beat me, kill me, because I didn't want to be a single parent. I didn't want to have to deal with this man for 18 years. So I can attest to the document that I read. I didn't want a life sentence being with somebody who was mean to me and not knowing how he would be with my child. But this woman talked to me for 2 hours on the phone. And the next day I decided I'm going to live and I need to work. And I went to a temp firm to take a typing test. And I looked up on the marquee for the organization and the crisis pregnancy center was there. So after I went and had my test for this job place, I went to the crisis pregnancy center and asked for the lady who was on the phone with me. And the woman told me that she had been on the phone. She was on call last night and she wasn't in today. And I told the woman, she was on the phone with me. And the woman took me into her office. Her name was Miss King. I got to put the plug out there, but she probably won't listen to this. But Miss King took me into her office and talked with me and ministered Christ to me. And I gave my life to the Lord. I believe it was in July of 1993. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then she put me in the fold, found me a place to stay, and let me go to church with her, have church dinner every Sunday with her family. And that was the beginning of my sincere walk with the Lord. People, we need more Miss Kings and crisis pregnancy centers in this country to be there for women who are struggling and who need help, and to let them know that dying or killing your baby is not an option. So church, let's get it right and get back to God. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. I would love it if you could like it, share it on social media, comment what you believe or what you disagree or disagree with. We can have an intelligent, friendly discussion around this topic. I'm just telling you what's bubbling up out of my spirit. And I want to tell you one thing before I go for sure, is that I had a young woman I met who I discerned was going to get an abortion. And so I prayed with her. I grabbed hands with her and I prayed for her that the Lord would give her strength. And then I spoke life into that baby. I said, you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I mean, I prayed for that baby and I prayed for that young lady, and she changed her mind. And that blessed me so much that I felt led to pray for that baby. She changed her mind. She later told me, yes, I was going to get an abortion and God just used you and thank you. And her baby is well, doing well and very healthy today. So it's a passion of mine. Check me out at hopetohealed.com. Email me at therapist@hopetohealed.com. And if you need help, reach out to me on my website or by email, and I'll do my best to help you find resources, help you connect services. And if you're in the state of Texas, I can minister to you. If you are anywhere else outside of the state of Texas, I can't be your therapist, but I can definitely attach you to one of my support groups that are forming around people who are grieving over the loss of a baby due to abortion. I'll put it together. You want it? I'll put it together, okay? Now, one other thing I want to tell you is, if you really like and enjoy this podcast, we would appreciate your support to help us get it going a little bit further. So you can click on the link under the Anchor podcast website. I'm not sure about the other modalities. I'm connected to 7 different podcast platforms, but if you're looking at this through Anchor or any other place that allows you to get to sponsor, we need your sponsorship in order to take this to the world, okay? We love you all, and thank you for listening. And remember, share it, subscribe to it, like it, comment, and be blessed, okay? Bye-bye.